Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Chad Marquitz. We're your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. Please be sure to check out our daily editorials to keep up to date on market moves, day-to-day market moves, as well as company updates. A lot of the companies that we follow still trying to provide some sort of clarity in terms of what they are going to do this year to, unfortunately, buck general downtrends that we've seen almost in every sector. We're kicking off the show with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. This is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And on the retail or individual side, Rick writes in the No Trader and a piece called 7-Eleven, where he picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs with the goal to beat the S&P. Rick, let's start with the S&P, because I kept on hearing over the last few weeks that, look, the market is due for a bounce. It got into some oversold conditions, and a lot of commentators were saying that this should be, whether it's a dead cat bounce, bear market rally, there should be some upward moves here in early summer. Over the past about 5 weeks, we've seen a little bounce, but boy, oh boy, it is not exciting. And even this last week, ending Friday on a fairly positive note, the market still very much flat to slightly down for the week. This bounce doesn't seem very strong to me. What's your takeaway from all these comments about a bounce being overdue for these markets?
Well, the bounce, I don't know if I'd say it's overdue, because we got a bounce off of the lows that we made in early June, and we got a couple hundred S&P points on the bounce. It's just that it kind of stalled against first level resistance from the models we use, and we come back down, you know, and tucked under 3,800 or so. And the thing is, if you look at just a basic chart, the last 4 weeks or so virtually have the same low. And it was 5 weeks ago that, wait, let me count, including this week, yeah, four weeks in a row of pretty much the same low. And then we had the lows for the whole year, 36, 37 was the low. So far, bulls have defended the low of the year. And months ago, we were out with an estimated, you know, our target low was 36.17. We got 20 points from that. And as I said, bounced a few hundred, gave a good chunk of that back. And kind of right now we're at 38.50 and kind of in the middle of what we've seen over the last month. So it's gotten some price action. In the bigger kind of structural sense, we need to see a few Friday closes in a row above 39.07. And the more week-ending closes above there, the better chance that you can get a leg up to play with, perhaps even what were the spring highs, you know, closer to 41.50. That comes into play if we can get above 39.07. But last week's high was right there. The week before was pretty darn close. This week's high is 38.81. So as much as the bulls want to see this bounce, right now they're still not in control until you get some Friday closes above 39.07. Then you can at least say the bulls have something to lean on and hope that the lows that we've seen stay the lows, at least for now. I'm not convinced that the current low of the year is going to stay the low. In fact, I'm more apt in thinking it won't. But a lot of times in a bear market, some of the biggest bull moves are short squeezes in a bear market. And I'd still say that in the grand picture of things, I'd be looking to sell rallies into resistance levels. And there are multiple ones because we've been selling off for 7 months. But once you get kind of north of 4150, I'm going to be much more inclined to be a seller than I am to be a buyer. So strategically, I'm still playing this as a bearish market that potentially has a bigger down move to go over time. Short term, I'm being bounded by 3907 on the top and about roughly 3700 or so on the bottom. And until we break either way from there, I'm not really going to care much about the 200 points in between. That's pure tactical short-term trading. But for the funds I speak to, and of course the individual investor clients I have from In the Know Trader, we're looking for moves beyond 3907 or under 3800 to more decidedly position for the next bigger move coming.
Well, Rick, you're not alone in being concerned that once we get up maybe even a little higher to resistance that there probably will be another rollover and leg lower. We've had a lot of guests on our show that feel the same way, and some are looking to get short again if we see even one of those short covering rallies that you mentioned. One question I have, Rick, is, you know, over the last 2 years, we saw so many new traders come into the market. When people were stuck at home, there was so much new money. There was a number of new trading platforms that even opened up and started and had all these new subscribers, and a lot of that money got evaporated, and not just over the last 7 months this year, but really starting the middle of last year with the meme stocks blew up in February last year. Some of the stay-at-home stocks blew up in the summer of last year. And in the third and fourth quarter, we saw a lot of the growth tech stocks start giving up the ghost way before the major indexes did. Is it possible that so much money has gone to money heaven here that there's just not the supply of new capital to give a lift to these markets at this point?
Well, it's amazing how much money is actually always out there and potentially available to invest. Now, the new money that came in, which is now generally all underwater, is going to discourage some of those players into either playing this game again and or wondering how stacked it is to the average individual investor to get ahead. But also, if new money came in this late into what was a very strong bull market, you have to know that you're taking far above average risk when you come into a market with new money as either a first-time investor or somebody adding money in this deep into a bull market. And if you think about it, it's really first quarter of 2021, probably February or March, that the market actually topped in the sense of breadth and you know, your NASDAQ stocks, your average NASDAQ stock, not the FANG and the really big large cap names, but your average NASDAQ stock topped in first quarter last year and is already in a year and a half decline. That's part of, if you think about the whole concept that I've spoken to you and your audience about before, that we are generally a counter trend. I have taken in my 40 plus year career on the street with positions at some of the best firms on the street in very high level positions. For instance, you know, for years I was chief market strategist at Morgan Stanley. What I introduced to those clients and people who followed me was the whole idea of counter trend trading.
Hey, Rick, I'm going to cut you off here because before we get into this whole concept, I really want to save it for the next segment, simply because we are pretty much out of time for this segment on the radio show. Just as a note, everyone listening on the radio, you can hear this full interview in its entirety without the commercial breaks over at our website, kereport.com, or our podcast, Oil and Economics Report. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Rick Bensinger.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Rick Bensinger. Now, Rick, we stepped a little bit away from just certain market moves at the tail end of the last segment. You were talking about how you have kind of made your career on playing these counter-trend moves. It's not so much calling the exact bottom, but there's a lot that goes into this, and quite frankly, it's a challenging game to play. I want you to elaborate a little bit more on these counter trend moves, how you decide when it is the right time to get in.
It's a much tougher game to play than trying to play with the trends. But this is a perfect example of if one can identify when a trend is likely ending, or it's obvious to the crowd. Like now, everybody can say, oh, yeah, we're in a bear market. You know, it's more about trying to identify the next meaningful turn before it's obvious to everybody else so that you're positioned for it. In the second week in January, I told clients the game's over. We broke, I think it might have been, so maybe entering the third week, I think it was January 17th that I declared the game's over. It's understanding where you are within the realm of a trend is the most important thing I think one can do, because it's easy to be a buyer when everybody's buying. You're playing a bull market, let's say, and just jumping in and playing along with everybody else. And that's fine. And that's how most people make money. But if you can't identify when that is changing and act accordingly, then you face these type declines of 20%+ in the S&P and 30%+ in the NASDAQ. And, you know, you quickly see profits or trades erode into substantial losses very quickly. And what that does psychologically to an investor is very painful, both psychologically as well as monetarily. And if you think of basic math, when something sells off 25%, if the market then rallies 25%, you're not back to breaking even. You need a 33% rally to get back to where you were when the market sells off 25%. So people have a lot that they're going to have to deal with looking at what the market's done, certainly since, let's say, the S&P peaked essentially January 1st this year. And the Qs, you know, the QQQ, similar, it peaked a couple months earlier. But if you look at the average stock, it's way earlier. And people have really substantial losses, sometimes 40 to 70%. You know, that happened very quickly in people getting into, oh, look, the market's going up. Everybody's telling me I should get in. I'm finally going to get in. And when they do, you know, they make money for a month and say, this is great. And then all of a sudden it's gone and gone big and quickly. So I'm always looking at the big picture to make sure we know where we are within a trend, as well as the key levels that are truly meaningful to institutional investors as being where they are likely to add or take money out of the markets from. And the thing that most individual investors don't realize is that the models, the indicators they're using are generally not what institutions are using. So I do presentations all the time at conferences. And, of course, I have my own weekly webinar, the In the Know Trader webinar, which, by the way, guys, I've just finished my association with Stock Charts, and I started my own YouTube channel. So you can go to look up In the Know Trader on YouTube, and I've just started my own channel. The first show will be on January 26th. And in these conversations I have, these webinars that I put out, I'll often, or in front of a hotel room of you know, individual investors at the Money Show or trading summits or places that I speak at, I'll say, raise your hand if you look at the RSI. And, you know, virtually every hand goes up. Raise your hand if you look at Bollinger Bands. Most hands go up. And stochastics and moving averages and this and that. I said, guess what? It's the institutional community, by and large, doesn't care at all about these indicators. They're not making major portfolio decisions because a stochastic gets oversold. You think they're buying simply because of that? That's not what they're looking at. So the average investor is using tools that the institutional portfolio manager is not using or caring about. And it's no wonder that individual investors are often on the wrong side of the market, because they're actually providing some of the liquidity that institutions need in order to get out of their positions. Because a company that's a large money manager, they may have several million shares of a stock. It could take them a week or two to roll out of that name. They can't just put in an order and say, sell 2 million shares of Netflix at the market. They have to work those orders in over a couple of weeks, change and flip their position. It's so important for the average investor to understand what the models are and have access to the indicators that institutions actually care about. And it's why I've been able to, months before we got there, tell you how important 3617 was going to be. It's why over the last few weeks I've been telling you 3907 is an important number. These are different models than most people look at and have a much better chance of actually identifying what the institutional community is going to do. And from somebody who's doing this over 40 years, I can tell you, you want to generally be aligned with what institutions are doing, not what the average individual investor is doing, not if you want to get ahead over time.
So, in terms of models that a lot of retail investors aren't privy to, what sectors do you like within the markets?
So, right now, I'll give you a few of them. So, in that 7-Eleven report that you mentioned, my goal in that report is to beat the S&P by being no more than 7 of the 11 macro spider ETFs like XLK, XLE, XLB, XLY, etc., the 11 macro sectors of the market. A few of them that we're overweight right now include tech, financials. I'm overweight, but just a slight overweight. I'm very heavily overweight healthcare, and I'm overweight energy, but we cut energy by 30% exposure on June 1st, which was perfect timing because energy has gotten decimated. It's still the best performer this year, but it's gotten decimated over the last couple of months as oil went from 120 bucks a barrel down to 90 bucks a barrel. So I still have an overweight in energy, but it is considerably smaller than it was a few months back.
All right, Rick, we're going to wrap it up here, but everybody listening on the radio, if you want to hear Rick's thoughts on gold and gold stocks, we do touch on that later in this conversation. That, again, will be posted on our website. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Mike Larson talking about some of the inflation data from this week.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News.
President Joe Biden is meeting with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
I guess I will see the King and the Crown Prince, but that's not the meeting I'm going to. They'll be part of a much larger meeting.
This comes despite saying he'd only meet with his father. The change of plans also come just 2 years after Biden vowed to make the Middle Eastern kingdom a, quote, pariah In 2020, Biden stated that the Saudi regime was to blame for the 2018 murder of a Washington Post columnist. Even though the prince denied being involved in the killing, U.S. intelligence was adamant that the Saudi ruler had ordered the hit at his consulate in Turkey. This is USA Radio News. Former President Donald Trump says he's already made a decision about whether to run again in 2024. In an interview with New York Magazine, Trump said his, quote, big decision will be whether he announces before or after November's midterm elections. There's going to be some changes with United Healthcare options.
Health insurance company United Healthcare announced during an earnings call Friday, starting next year, UnitedHealth will stop charging a copay to its fully insured members for several critical medicines, including insulin. Red-hot inflation has led many patients to ration life-saving drugs and become sicker as a result. CEO Andrew Witty added, "This all depends upon manufacturers restraining and lowering the list price of their products, which is the fundamental driver of costs." End quote. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes, too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are now chatting with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. And Mike, look, we're going to start off by focusing quite simply on the inflation data. We spent the first part of the show looking a bit more into market moves with Rick Bensignor. Now it's time to talk data and what the data could mean. In the big picture, we had the inflation data today. We are recording this later in the day on Wednesday, and it was the 9.1% reading that, hey, it, I think surprised some people to the upside. We even got a little bit of a warning from somebody in the government. I forget who that said, well, just consider that a lot of inflation pressures dropped off by the second half of the month. They kind of got in front of this news, but fact of the matter is inflation is staying very elevated. What's your takeaway from this data?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, you look at the numbers, 9.1% year-over-year headline, that was worse than the 8.8% expected. If you look at the core, that was also a little higher than expected, both month-on-month and year-on-year. And usually when you go through these numbers, whether it's data on inflation or other parts of the economy, things like employment and so on, you can dig deep enough in these voluminous government reports and find something to pull out to say something good about. But, you know, my parents raised me not to lie, so I really didn't want to go out there and say there's any good news hidden behind the numbers. I mean, even when you look at anything from housing to energy to cars to services. I mean, there was so many things in this report that just were not favorable, worse than expected, not showing signs of a peak and so on, that it really did hit the markets hard. And it really does underscore what the Fed is going to have to do in response. You can argue, and a few people out there saying after the number, yeah, well, since these numbers were compiled, gas prices have come down a little bit, some food commodities have come down a little bit and so on. So maybe that's going to mean the future numbers get better. But the problem is, these kinds of numbers show the Fed is so wildly behind the curve, it's not even funny. I mean, again, 9.9% plus inflation. We haven't seen anything like this since 1981, you know, the beginning of the Reagan era and back in the Volcker days and so on. And yet we're still at an interest rate, a federal funds rate that's microscopic even after the recent hikes compared to what we had back then. So in response, you've seen, you know, some wild moves in everything from gold and silver to the dollar to treasuries, to stocks and so on, as people try and figure out what the Fed's going to do in response. And if you look at the interest rate futures market, ironically enough, there actually the percentage or chance of there even being a 100 basis point hike at the Fed's meeting that's scheduled for later in July really went up sharply. You know, they were already talking about 75. And this is worse than the kind of in between 50 and 75 we had a week or two ago. Now there's even a chance that, again, they could go that full 100 basis point or 1 percentage point increase, which is actually just what the Bank of Canada did this week as well. So you can see that you're talking about the kinds of Fed moves we haven't seen in decades, really. And that's a big deal for the markets. It's interesting if you look at the yield curve, you know, the difference in rates at different points in the Treasury curve after the news came out. Particularly, I was looking at the spread between the 2-year treasury and the 10-year treasury yield. That inversion that we've had where the 2 years are yielding more than 10 years got deepened to about 20 basis points. Last year, when the curve was as steep as it had been in a long time, we were talking about a curve that 2s to 10s was positive 160, give or take. Now it's negative 20. So you've seen 180 basis point flattening in that curve measure. And historically, that's been a very accurate signal of impending recession. And the rationale is fine when you think about it. 2-year notes are yields are more sensitive to Fed policy. 10-year note yields are more sensitive to sort of the longer-term expectations for the economy and growth. So when you have the Fed that's in an aggressive tightening mode, which is exactly what we're seeing here, that drives up 2-year notes. But then bond investors say, geez, if the Fed has to jack up short-term rates, what's it going to do to the economy? What's it going to do to housing? What's it going to do to employment and so on? It's going to make it worse and probably send us into recession. So investors actually buy longer-term bonds, driving those yields down. So again, if you look at that negative 20 basis point curve, that is basically just as bad as it was in 2006, which you probably don't need me to remind you is right before the housing market, mortgage market, and financial market started to crash. If you go back to the last recession before that, right around the time the dot-com bubble was bursting, the lowest this spread got to was about negative 45 basis points. So again, not too much lower than negative 20 we're at now. If you go back before that to the recession in the early 1990s that was driven by the oil shock because of the Iraq invasion, as well as the unwinding of the savings and loan debacle we had here in the U.S., the worst the spread ever got then was negative 45 basis points too. So throughout modern economic history, these kinds of numbers, this kinds of inflation data, and the Fed response to it has ultimately pushed the economy into recession, resulted in extremely difficult markets, and sure enough, we just had the worst start to the stock market in 50 years. And it's easy to see why, given what this data is showing and given what it means for Fed policy and response.
Yeah, Mike, it's really an interesting spot that the Fed is in where it's really a teeter-totter. And on one side, they have the inflation worries and their desire to go fight it. And on the other side, they have the worries of recession and a slowing economy where we've seen what appears to be 2 quarters in a row of negative GDP growth, you know, the housing market rolling over, and really no signs of massive growth on the horizon. And so everybody is postulating what they think the outcome is going to be, but I'd love to get your thoughts on it. I mean, we had joked, Mike, earlier in the year, I think you and I had even joked on a show that the Fed could raise by 100 basis points for 4 or 5 meetings in a row, and they'd still have negative real rates. And so now we're actually there where they actually are considering a 100 basis point rise. But even if they do, and we're still in that negative real rate environment, at what point do you think the Fed is under so much pressure that they get to that point where they have to pause or pivot due to the recessionary worries?
Well, sure. I mean, like you said, the federal funds rate, even after these hikes and even after the next hike that we may be looking at, is still going to be well below inflation at 9.1%. I mean, the effective funds rate, you know, you're looking at about 1.25% right now. They go another 75 or 100. You're still talking in the low 2s or right around 2. And what does that mean? That means you take 9%, give or take, inflation, you subtract 2, and you've got negative 7 as a result. The real effective interest rate, and even real longer long-term rates, like 10-year and 30-year bond yields, are deeply negative, essentially the worst or the most deeply negative as we've seen since, you know, the very late 1970s, early 1980s, when Volcker had to come in and essentially murder the economy to get inflation under control. So I don't envy the position that they're in, but frankly, they put themselves in this position by not acting a year and a half ago to start normalizing policy when we were coming out of the worst of the COVID downturn. So, you know, it's partially a problem of their own making. It's also a result of all the aggressive fiscal stimulus, which, again, in hindsight, was too aggressive and was not dialed back as the economy recovered from the COVID downturn. So, you know, it's a very tough spot to be in. I think that they're going to get us to positive rates overnight? No. I mean, they're not going to hike 800 basis points or whatever to get us over 9% inflation rate. But it's going to be a combination of higher nominal policy yields plus inflation that will eventually come down as commodities likely roll over a bit because of the economic pressures driven by tighter credit. I mean, let's be honest, the housing market, I watched the numbers very closely after an enormous, you know, secondary bubble, basically with prices going up faster than they did during what everybody considers to be the worst housing bubble in U.S. history back in the mid-2000s. You're seeing the inventory start to rise sharply. You're seeing price cuts and asking prices. You're seeing, you know, a sort of a standoff between formerly emboldened sellers. They're like, oh, crap, I didn't sell fast enough. And buyers, they're saying, well, why should I go in and aggressively bid? If I wait 6 months, I'll have more choice at better prices. And you're kind of at that top of the roller coaster there where, you know, you're hanging right over that drop that's coming next. So that's going to happen in housing. You're already seeing layoffs in that number into the thousands amongst mortgage lenders. You're going to see, you know, other real estate related businesses that are going to see similar problems like that.
Yeah, Mike, it's just a tough situation out there. Hey, businesses are struggling. Costs are going higher. Individuals are struggling. At least the labor market has been relatively strong. But when you look under the data there, that's looking like it's slowing down as well. And companies, especially if we truly are going in this recession, they're not going to continue to hire. That's going to also be another pressure. Very interesting to see and to live through all of this. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back continuing to chat with Mike Larson.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this.
Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Welcome back. We're wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing to chat with Mike Larson. Now, Mike, final comments. Before we move on to some of the other sectors, that look, we've seen weakness across the board. Anything else that's really stood out to you?
And I would also dial in what we've talked about before. The impact of higher discount rates and higher and tighter money has been especially acute in all these garbage companies, all these garbage stocks that were, you know, behaving like it was 1999 all over again. So there's a great website that that I've been watching that sort of tracks the tech company layoffs. And, you know, there were a couple hundred layoffs 6-12 months ago, and now there's 75,000-80,000 being reported from this company that tracks them. So you're going to see a lot of that, those junk companies that never should have been, you know, funded in the first place. As the money runs out for them, those companies are going to fold. They're going to fire people. They're going to stop buying workstations, you know, remote computer equipment, all that kind of stuff that was driving tech investment. That's going to go away. So it's going to be a tougher economic environment going forward. The market knows that, and that's why really a safe money, defensive, batten down the hatches kind of approach has made a lot of sense, obviously, so far in 2022, but even going back to the back half of last year as well.
So what is that safe approach? Because quite frankly, really the only thing that we've seen going up continues to be the U.S. dollar. We've even seen a pullback in some of the yields here. We always talk about how forward-looking the markets are, and I continue to see a lot of red on my screen. Even after these higher inflation numbers, we do have something like the precious metals up, but they're down from their highs of the day. Overall, I'm still not seeing a whole lot of opportunity, but it sounds like there are some strategies. So share those strategies with us, please.
Sure. I mean, you know, obviously in things like the safe money report, I have a lot more cash, fewer positions in general, some defensive hedges, things like inverse ETFs that rise in value when certain sectors of the market decline. The stocks that I have recommended and ETFs that I've recommended have higher yields. They have dividend protection, which, you know, doesn't guarantee you're not going to lose money, but does give you a downside cushion. The types of companies and sectors that I focused on are in industries that are more economically defensive. You know, do you want to own a bunch of junk tech companies, or do you want to own utilities and consumer staples because people still have to eat and turn the lights on? I think the answer there to me is pretty obvious if you're heading into or are already in a recession. So, you know, those kinds of names that are in healthcare, in consumer staples, in utilities, those sectors I think are where you want to be. If you go back to things like the dot-com period, those are the sectors that outperformed, that held up, that made money actually when tech was starting to implode, and then held their value pretty well on a relative basis, while the NASDAQ, you know, torpedoed 78% of your money. So that's the kind of thing you want to be looking at if you are looking for opportunity. You do want to have some, you know, defense in the form of precious metals. You know, the dollar run-up that you discussed is certainly hindering gold's performance. That's obvious if you look at the chart and sort of look at the inverse relationship between those two. But what's going to probably happen is even though the Fed's continuing to raise rates, you're seeing other economies, including, as I mentioned, Canada, for example, just did that 100 basis point increase there. You're going to see others that are going to be forced into action too. So I would, and especially given how wildly overbought the dollar is, I think there's room for that trend to ease off. I don't think the dollar is going to like crash from here, but I do think that the upswing, the rally has been probably overdone. And if you can even catch a breather in the buck, that's probably going to have a nice positive impact on precious metals as well. So that part of your sort of safety portfolio, I think you definitely want to still be involved, even in this market where, again, the performance has been held back by the rally in the U.S. dollar.
Mike, just a quick question, because we get a lot of emails from people about the precious metals and why they didn't respond better in this environment where we're seeing the high inflation, we're seeing, you know, geopolitical risk. There is the Fed rate hiking cycle, which in previous times had actually been a boon to the precious metals. So why do you think gold hasn't performed a little bit better, all things considered?
Again, I think it goes back to the fact that the Fed, a tighter money Fed, after, especially after an era where there was kind of this everything bubble when it comes to liquidity, and, you know, it wasn't just houses that were going up or stocks that were going up. It was, you know, every kind of cryptocurrency imaginable, including ones named after, you know, that are fake currencies named after a dog, you know, artwork, baseball cards, whatever you want to call it. As you try and force sort of deflation in assets, which is what the Fed's trying to do, and is obviously succeeding in many parts, it's going to have that sort of depressing effect on almost everything. You had an everything bubble on the way up. If you decrease liquidity dramatically and have this depressing impact on assets and you drive the U.S. dollar up, that's going to hurt things like precious metals. I mean, but yeah, it was interesting commentary the other day. I forget who it was I saw on Twitter. But they said, everybody's talking about how bad gold's performed. But for like a U.S.-based investor, it certainly has, I think 5% or so year-to-date decline compares with 58% to the negative for Bitcoin, 20% to the negative for the S&P. 30% to the negative for the average tech stock fund. What was it, 15%, 12%, something like that for bonds. So, I mean, it's like, oh, God, gold's not performing. It's like, well, actually, it's outperforming pretty much everything else. So, you know, that's it's on a relative. I mean, you can't spend relative profits if they're still in a negative number, but relative outperformance certainly helps you, and owning gold certainly has helped you relative to owning just a 60-40 portfolio of stocks and bonds, or if you own crypto, you've gotten your head handed to you.
So the problem, though, being is that a lot of gold investors also go down into the stocks, and those stocks have been crushed. Do you see an environment where the metal really outshines and the stocks unfortunately continue to lag if we do have this tougher environment?
You know, I think, again, it's all just going to come – I shouldn't say it's all going to come down to a big force is what happens with the dollar. If the dollar runs out of steam here, if other economies catch up to what the – you know, other central banks catch up or at least start catching up to what the Fed's been doing and leading with, I think that's going to give – you know, remove a key headwind for precious metals. Let's put it that way. So I think we've just got to kind of watch that. A lot is key. I think a lot of the momentum to the downside for gold recently has really just been keyed off what's going on in the dollar. And if that takes a breather, you know, if you start getting economic data that's rolling over at the same time, you know, the yield curve drops another 20 or 30 basis points because of aggressive Fed action on the front end. I mean, something's going to break. That's the other thing I would point out. I mean, if you look at things that have been sort of strong short-term drivers for gold as well, it's when you have signs of panic, whether it's, you know, VIX spike, some bank going under, whatever the case may be. It's interesting that during the sell-off, the volatility index, the VIX, hasn't really been all that active. It's elevated. It's in the mid-20s. But, you know, when we've had past periods where the market's really stung up the joint, you know, 30, 40, 50 readings on the VIX weren't uncommon. This has been more of sort of a slow, steady, consistent sell-off. But once something starts to break, and I think the history of Fed cycles is that something always breaks when they get too tight, that's another reason why I think you're going to see some better performance in gold. So again, I don't see any reason to sell. I know it might be a little bit frustrating, but let's be honest, it's been a lot more frustrating to own quote unquote digital gold. And frustrating might not even be a strong enough word for it. And it's been even more frustrating to hold things like just regular stocks. So I think that's something that anybody needs to keep in mind if they're talking about gold. It's still, relatively speaking, has given you some protection, some element of safety that you haven't been able to find elsewhere.
Mike, let's also talk about the commodity complex. I know that it ranges from the fuel, you know, oil and gas, which have done pretty good but have recently rolled over. But we've also seen the base metals really tank hard the last 2 months, and also the agricultural, the grains and the soft commodities pulled back. Now, initially, they were rising with the dollar up until about that $100, you know, mark. And then once it crossed the Rubicon there, the dollar has been seen as a headwind. But there's also these fears of recession, and there's the Fed rate hiking cycle. What do you think that all means for the commodity complex? And are we still in a longer-term bullish super cycle for commodities, and this is just a pullback? Or could this be extended if we have a true recession?
You know, I'm not necessarily in the super cycle camp. That's never really been a word I've used for the broader commodity space. I think there's times when, you know, the economic sort of and currency-based forces are going to be at your tail, and there are times when they're going to be headwinds. And I think that clearly in this case, worries about growth, worries about policy, the dollar move and so on is working against you. So, I mean, all else being equal, to me, this is a time when you want to be less involved in economically sensitive type parts of the commodities market and more involved in precious, just given, again, you know, the potential for something to break, the potential for the dollar to ease off, the potential for, you know, some kind of again, sorry, accident, whatever, financial accident, whatever you're going to call it. I think that the chance of that happening continues to rise. And in this environment, if you're trying to be defensive, you're trying to take a safe money approach, that means focusing on precious over base metals and other parts of the commodity complex that are more economically sensitive.
All right. So very much continues to be that defensive strategy that you need to take in these markets. Look, there's a lot of worrisome signs out there. And I know people say that all the time about the markets, but this environment of tighter monetary policy, taking away the punch bowl, the whole concept of don't fight the Fed, it was true on the way up, also true on the way down. It was a wild week as we all just waited for that inflation data, and now seems like we're all just waiting for the next Fed meeting, which is coming relatively soon, and then some more clarity for what seems to be a pretty tough and slow summer. Mike, everybody else, again, thanks for tuning in this weekend. You guys can always reach us through email, and be sure to check out our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Cortland Economic Report. Everyone, I hope you have a great rest of your week.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Cortland Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.